All right, for those of you who are coming on in here, we are not about to get started. We just started streaming, so praise God. But come on in. Amen. I'm glad you're here. I've just got some text messages that there are some traffic issues on 459 for some other folks that are on their way. And so, amen. We kind of have to start the countdown, though, because we got folks online that are waiting for us to get started. So, but anyway, come on in, find you a seat. It's good to see everybody. I think that we're going to have a good time tonight. Not because of the one teaching, but because of what I'm going to teach you tonight. I can guarantee you a transformed life tonight if you'll get a hold of what we have on deck. It's getting down to where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, in our lives and the things that I call it putting a bullseye on something. You know, the devil, one of the things the devil does is he tries to distract us. I guess I could stop that music from playing, couldn't I? That'd help. All right. One of the things the devil tries to do is distract us. And have you ever heard the expression majoring in the minors? You know, where you take things that aren't really that important, but you make it so important. But then the things that are really important, you neglect or hardly ever get around to. And so we're going to major on the majors tonight. Amen. We're going to major on the majors. We're going to look at some major things, some things that are extremely, extremely important. So praise God. Amen. All right. Still got some folks signing in, getting settled. Hey, how about new snacks tonight? Did y'all notice a little bigger snack selection? So I made it to Sam's Club yesterday. And I said, that's one of the things, those of you who only watch online, you got to get your own snacks. Amen. But if you come on into class, we got snacks for you. Praise God. All right. Man, it's good to see all of you tonight. So, amen. Good things. Praise God. Everybody blessed? Everybody good? Yeah? All right. If you're a little cool, it'll warm up a little bit. We get all these bodies in here, so it's kind of cool to start, but it's going to warm up at least a little bit before we're done tonight. Praise God. All right. So I'll be sharing this testimony in the Wednesday evening service, but some of you know we have 13 churches in East Africa, and a lot of those folks are tuned in. Some of them actually, and keep this in mind, they're 9 hours ahead of us. So what is it, 3 in the morning over there, 4 in the morning? So some of them actually stay up and watch it live. And they just finished a big convention. I was actually at the convention last year, but not this year. Obviously, I was here. But there was a 13-year-old boy who had not been able to walk for 24 days. And his parents brought him to the meeting, and the Lord instantly healed him. I mean, just miraculously healed him. And the whole family got born again. That's what we're seeing is last year we had a young man that had multiple epileptic seizures a day, multiple seizures a day for a long, long time. And the Lord healed him. His family was Muslim. They all got born again. And so this family was at this convention a year later. No seizures. A year later, young man still, no seizures. And they were just, again, rejoicing. So we're just thankful for what God is doing here and around the world. Amen? Amen. All right, well, let's pray and we'll get to it. Father, thank you for this time together this evening. Thank you, Lord, for those who are on their way. Lord, we know we still got a few folks that are on their way, caught in traffic. We just thank you for ministering spirits, performing your word in their lives, protecting them, helping them. Thank you, Lord, for the patience and just protection. Lord, thank you for this time together tonight. Thank you, Lord, that the renewing and reconditioning of our minds produces transformed life reality for each one of us. And I thank you, Lord, tonight that you're going to help us bring our hearts to attention and connect with some things in a way that we've never connected with them before, perhaps even hear some things we've never heard before. And I believe, Father, that your Holy Spirit is our teacher. And we're not just here for information, Lord. We're here for revelation. We want you to reveal to us things that we have never seen or understood before, things that will make a tremendous difference in our lives moving forward. So, Lord, we thank you and we bless those that are here. Thank you for the effort. Those that are watching online, thank you for the effort. I pray that it would all bring honor and glory to your name as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so let's go back to the title for tonight's class. I usually always kind of include introduction to discipleship in the first handful of classes, because we will, you know, gradually kind of work our way through several different ways to define what discipleship really is. We haven't really kind of dug into that yet, but we're talking about some different things that are definitely related. So we're going to continue with the introduction to discipleship. And then we started last week, Renewed in the Spirit of Your Mind, where we talked about put off with the old, on with the new. And so we're going to continue that, and a few more things we want to say about that. That's going to lead us into the relationship between being and doing. The relationship between being and doing. And we introduced a little bit of that last week, because all these things kind of, one folds into the next, which folds into the next, which folds into the next. And remember, I told you last week, you are a human being, not a human doing, okay? And what you do doesn't determine who you be. What you do does not determine who you be. Amen. Who you be determines what you are capable of doing. So we'll explain some of that a little more clearly as we work our way through, have some drawings and things that we will put up for you. So let's go back to where we left off last Wednesday, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 17. Now, what happens as we get more and more things out in the open, out on the table, to go back and try to review those things takes more and more time. And so I'm not going to try to do that, but I do want to remind you that you are a spirit, you have a soul, you live in a body, you're a three-dimensional being, right? And because you are a three-dimensional being, the Bible says that the outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. So we've established this in the first two classes. For those of you who are not here for those classes, we'll kind of, again, fold it into the recipe tonight, but I'm not going to really dig into it as much. But what we've established up into this point is that it's possible for there to be two different realities taking place in the same person at the same time, which if you only think in terms of a one-dimensional being, in other words, if you were just a one-dimensional being, right, then it's either or. It can't be both and. But if you are, and you are, by the way, a three-dimensional being, then it can be both renewed day by day and perishing. In other words, one dimension of you can be perishing while another dimension of you is improving and increasing and growing, right? Amen. And if you think about it, I know none of us like to think about these things or talk about these things, but when a baby is born, that baby obviously will grow and develop spiritually, but that baby begins a journey towards physical death. At birth, that baby begins a journey towards physical death, okay? Yet inwardly, we're not decreasing, but we're increasing if we're born again. Amen? All right. And so then we looked at how someone can be born again, be a child of God, but if they continue to think like a slave, they'll continue to live like a slave, even though they're no longer a slave. And then remember, Jesus said, come and I will give. Come on now, come and I will give. And what's the next part? Learn and you will find, you will discover. So it's one thing for a man or woman to be born again, is another thing for them to come to the knowledge of the truth. A lot of people have been born again. A lot of people receive Jesus, but have not yet come to the knowledge of the truth. Discipleship is, among other things, about coming to the knowledge of the truth. And that's something that takes some time. It takes a commitment on our part. Amen. One of my favorite definitions of discipleship, and I collect them, amen, is when the inward realities of the new birth become outward expressions of life. It's one thing to become righteous, to be righteous. It's another thing to live righteously. But because you've been made righteous, you have the ability now to live righteously. But just because you've been made righteous doesn't mean you automatically live righteously. Come and I will give, Jesus said. Come and I will make you righteous. Learn of me, and you will manifest righteousness. You will live righteously, rightly, amen, in your life reality. Praise God. You still with me? All right, so let's dig into this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility, King James Version says, vanity of their own mind. I told you last week, if something is futile, it doesn't matter how many times you try it, it's not going to produce the result you want it to produce or that you need it to produce. If something is futile, it's not ever going to do what you need it to do. And this is how the world is living. The world is living in the futility of their own mind. Remember, we're instructed to not lean on our own understanding, But to do what? To trust God with all our heart and acknowledge Him in all of His way, in all of our ways, and He would do what? He would direct our paths. So this I say, therefore, in testifying the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind. Now, you have to understand the audience. He's talking to men and women who have been born again. He's writing this to the church, to the body of Christ at Ephesus. Amen. So he's talking to people who've received salvation, but they're not living like born again men and women. They're instead living like people who have not been born again. Why? Because they're living like the rest of the Gentiles. Gentiles are men and women who have no covenant with God, who don't know God, who are separated from God, in the futility of their own mind, having their understanding. So mind and understanding. What part of your three dimensions involves your mind and your understanding? Anybody remember? Your soul. Your soul is the part of you that thinks, feels, and chooses. Your soul is a part of you that understands things, okay? Your understanding is how you look at things. How you understand something is how you look at it, okay? And if you figured out, not everybody sees things the way you see them, which means not everybody understands things the way you understand them. So he says their understanding is darkened. Their understanding is darkened. And a darkened understanding doesn't mean you haven't been born again. It means yet your understanding has not yet been enlightened. And remember we looked at this verse in Galatians chapter 4, verse 1, where he says, this I say, therefore, again, now I say, that the heir or the child differs nothing from a slave as long as he's a child, even though he's master of all, right? And that word child is the word nepios, and it's talking about someone who still has a darkened understanding. If your understanding is darkened, it means you are not seeing things the way they truly are. If your understanding is darkened, it means you think it's one way when it's actually another. How you see it and how it truly is are not the same thing. Okay? So he's saying to born-again believers, you're living like people who don't know God, and you're living out of the futility of your mind because your understanding is darkened, and because your understanding is darkened, you're alienated from the life of God. In other words, alienated means you're separated from. You're on the outside looking in when you're actually an insider, because the ignorance that is in them, again, ignorance, notice, understanding, mind, thinking, ignorance, all these things having to do with the soul, because of the blindness of their heart. I mean, how many different ways can he say it? You see what's being emphasized here. Who being past feeling, here we go again, right? Your soul is your mind, emotions, and will, your thoughts, your feelings, and your choices. Who being past feeling and giving themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And that word learned there is the Greek word manthano. It's the word from which we get our English words for disciple. Okay, we'll dig into that at a later date. You have not so learned Christ if is such a powerful word in the Bible, right? If you are willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. He didn't say you'll eat the good of the land automatically. He said you'll eat the good of the land if you're willing and obedient. There's a difference, right? And what the devil's trying to do in the modern day church is, you know, is that take all the ifs out of the scriptures. Okay, are you following me? And Keith Moore says it this way, that people are looking for a no fault religion, meaning what? Meaning they have zero responsibility, and God and or the devil have all the responsibility, and that what we decide doesn't make any difference whatsoever. Well, that's a lie, and the devil wants you to believe that. So he says, you've not so learned Christ, if indeed you have been taught by him. That's a big if right there. He's not saying that they haven't been saved. He's saying that they haven't yet come to the knowledge of the truth. And they haven't yet come to the knowledge of the truth because they have not learned, have not heard Jesus, or have not been discipled by Jesus, taught by him. Because what? The truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Okay. Now, it's interesting to me how different little sayings and catchphrases and things, you know, catch on and come and go. And usually by the time it works its way into my vocabulary, my children are like, no, Dad, that was a year ago. You know what I'm saying? Okay. But there's one that's very dangerous right now, and it's people talking about my truth. My truth. Okay. please, okay. There's only one truth, and he's a person. His name is Jesus, and it's knowing him and learning of him that'll enable you. Remember, come and he'll make you free. Learn of him and you shall be free in your performed action, okay? So it's when we don't know the truth, also known as darkened understanding, also known as ignorance, also known as the futility of your own thinking, your own mind, right? Okay. But you, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth. Come on, truth. Discipleship is a relentless pursuit of the truth that is in Jesus. Okay. That you put off. So like taking off a garment, taking off a coat or a sweater or what have you. That you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man. See, when you're born again, you put off the old man. Okay, because you are a spiritual creature and you were born again, meaning the spiritual creature you were was buried in an unmarked grave and he put a new spirit in you. And then his spirit and your new spirit became one spirit. All right, that's what happened when you were born again. Okay, you still with me? So he says, put off not the old man. If you're born again, that's already happened. He's saying put off the conduct of the old man. The way you conduct yourself, the way you live your life, concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Notice all these verses are beginning with a lowercase letter and ending with a comma because it's all one long thought, one long sentence. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created. When you were born again, you became a new creation. If any man's in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Right? So it's not that you're becoming. Remember, we said this over and over again. Discipleship is not about becoming something you're not. It's about discovering who you became the day you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's about putting on. It's about taking off the former conduct, the former lifestyle, the former behavior, and putting on the new man. Again, conduct, lifestyle, the new man you've already been made. Are you seeing this? Yeah. Now, keep this in mind. I know that you are, because remember where we're trekking. We're trekking towards understanding the relationship between being and doing. Between being and doing. We got to get this straight because people are very confused about the relationship between being and doing. And when we talk about our being, you be something and God made you something, which now you are something, someone that you could have never made yourself. You became something through the new birth that you could never make yourself. All right. So discipleship is not about becoming that. That's salvation. That's receiving Jesus, being born again. God's desire, again, is that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So we become something that we were not before, but if we don't ever learn who we became, if we don't ever recondition and renew our minds and change the way we see things, our understanding, right? If we continue to see ourselves as the person we were before, we're going to continue to live like the person we were before, even though we're not that person any longer. Man, again, there is so much for me to explain to you about discipleship, but this to me is the guts of it. It's the heart of it right here. I mean, this is, in other words, we could learn everything else about discipleship, but if we never got to this part right here, we're missing the point. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're putting on the new man. Inward realities. Things that are already yours, things that you've already been given, things that you've already been made, things that you already are, right? Being, becoming an outward expression of life, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness, come on now, and holiness. Your born again spirit is just as right before God in the eyes of God as Jesus, just as holy and separated from sin and the things of this world as Jesus. And when you were born again, the Bible says that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. Your spirit was sealed. You seal things, to keep. I sometimes use this example. Anybody ever had somebody like just cut an onion in half and just set the thing in the refrigerator? And now your vanilla ice cream's tasting like onions because it wasn't sealed, right? It's just going everywhere. Amen. So when you were born again, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Yeah. Amen. Which now means all that God's put in you, the devil can't steal it out of you. Amen. And the bad that's around you can't get in there and contaminate it. It can get to your mind. It can get to your body, but it can't get to you. Your mind, your body, you. You are a spirit. You have a mind. You have a soul. You have a body. Yes? Now listen, I know some of you are like, is he going to say that 17,000 more times? No, I'm going to say it 29,000 more times. Why? It's because we've been so accustomed to thinking one-dimensionally. Have you caught yourself thinking one-dimensionally this week? Amen? So we've been so indoctrinated, we've been so brainwashed into thinking one-dimensionally that we have to over and over and over and over again remind ourselves, be renewed in the spirit of our mind, amen, that we're a three-dimensional being. Flesh first, flesh only. If it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, it must be a duck, right? If somebody commits a sin, they must be a sinner. Are you following what I'm saying? Okay. Amen. And so three-dimensionally means you are more, there is more to you than meets the eye. You have far more on the inside of you than any of us have ever seen on the outside of you. You are far wealthier, you are far holier, you are far wiser, you are far more powerful. We could just go on, stronger, freer, more righteous, all those things inside. How free, how righteous, how holy, how wealthy, just as free, just as righteous, just as holy, just as wealthy as Jesus. Because you're born again spirit. You were born of his seed. Seed produces after its own kind. The Bible says you become a partaker of the divine nature of God. You have the very nature of God inside of you. It's who you are. It's not just something you try to do. See, again, we'll get to being and doing in just a minute. All right, okay, so. So discipleship then is how we effectively put off the outward behavior of the old man and put on the new man we became the day we were born again. Okay? So old man is the person we were, the being we were, including the nature we had. Are you following the tenses here? Including the nature we had before we were born again. Now we've been created again in true righteousness and holiness. Now, we said last week that the spirit of your mind is the understanding you have of your true being and nature. The spirit of your mind. He didn't just say renew the mind. That's Romans 12. This is different. Here he's saying be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay? And so the spirit of your mind is the understanding you have of your true being and nature. Remember, your understanding is how you see things. It's how you... Now, why is how you see things so important? Because how you see things determines how you respond to things. Are you following me? If you think I'm the biggest jerk that ever put on a pair of pants, you're not going to listen to anything I got to say. Are you with me? Have you ever like met somebody and you first thought, man, she is so full of herself, I ain't got no time for her. Only to find out later your first impression was wrong. And next thing you know, she becomes one of your best friends. Okay? But see, how you understand how you see a thing or a person or a situation, why is that so important? Your understanding is how you see it, and how you see it determines how you respond to it. Now, I'm getting a little bit off subject, but let me just remind you, every strategy, every tactic, every temptation, every effort the devil uses against you is an effort on his part to get you to respond in a way that will be harmful or detrimental to you. What is temptation to sin? It's the devil trying to get you to respond to some stimulus, to some lust of the eye, pride of life, lust of the flesh. Are you following what I'm saying? It's all about responding. It's how the devil wants you to respond. Well, again, your understanding, how you perceive things, how you see things, how you understand things is the basis from which you and I respond to things. Yes, no, baby. You follow me? Okay, all right. So the spirit of your mind is the understanding you have of your true being and nature. Remember now, understanding is soul. Understanding is soul. You understand with your soul, right? Your true being in nature is your spirit. So the spirit of your mind is the understanding you have of your true being and nature, the version of yourself that exists in your understanding of mind. And so I said this a few different ways. The spirit of your mind is the image of the real you that exists in your mind. It's what you think is true about you, whether it's true or not. You realize it doesn't matter if it's true or not. If you think it's true, you're going to act like it's true. I'm going to say it again. You're going to respond like it's true, whether it's true or not. Do you see why the truth will enable you to be free in your performed action? Because again, if you're responding based upon something that's not true, this is what leads us deeper and deeper into bondage. So the spirit of your mind is the image of the real you that exists in your mind. Okay, stay with me now. We're going to dig into this a little deeper. Some of this is review, some of it's not. So the spirit of your mind ultimately then is your self-image. It's your self-image. And sometimes I get, you know, people get a little irritated because they think, oh, it's not what it is. Okay, pray about it. I'm just asking you to pray about it if you don't think that's what it is. Okay, if you don't think that's what it is, then would you come see me after class and tell me where I'm wrong and what it really is, okay? But again, the spirit of your mind, it's the version of you that exists in your understanding, right? Now, think about it for a moment. What if you understood who you were in Christ Jesus? Reckon that would make a difference in your life reality?
Yes.
If you responded based upon who's in you and whose you belong to and everything that's been done for you and everything you've been made and everything that's been given for you and the heart of God for you, if you had perfect understanding of all of that, reckon that would influence how you sleep at night, how you respond to difficulty, how you look at people who bless their darling hearts and ignorant heads that don't value you and disrespect you and treat you incorrectly. You follow what I'm saying? Okay, praise God. Now, in order to put off the lingering bad conduct of the person you were before Christ and put on the new person you became in Christ, you must be made new in the understanding you have of yourself. You must be made new in the understanding you have of yourself. Okay? And when I say yourself, I'm talking about your true nature, your true being, your true identity in Christ. Now, some of the pushback that I've received over the years teaching these things is folks look at this and they go, man, that sounds like humanism to me, Pastor Mark. You know, it's just, I'm not sure that's anything out of the Bible right there. Well, see, again, any answer that the world has that works, they ripped it off from God and just renamed it. Are you with me? The Bible, meditation is not some, you know, some mystic thing. The Bible teaches to meditate is to mutter to oneself. You know, one of the most powerful things you can ever develop in your life is the ability to sit down and meditate the Word of God. To get a verse and to meditate on it and to set your mind on it and to think it through and to mutter it to yourself. The Bible says God will keep the man or woman in perfect peace whose mind is fixed, whose mind is set upon Him. Great peace have they that love your law. Amen, right? So when we talk about self, I'm not talking about like, you know, you're the God of your own making. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about who you became the day you became a new creation in Christ Jesus. And understanding that. If you still see yourself as a sinner, if you still see yourself as an addict, if you still see yourself as a loser, if you still see yourself as a failure, I'm going to tell you right now, in Christ Jesus, you are none of those things. But if you still see yourself as those things, watch this now. If you see yourself as a failure, do you think other people see you as a winner? You follow what I'm saying? However you see yourself is how you think other people see you. As social anxiety, it all goes back to understanding of our identity. Are you picking up what I'm putting down, right? Because again, if that's how you see yourself, you automatically think everybody else at least sees you that way and probably think of you worse than that. Right? Okay, so all these things, and by the way, this part also frustrates me. You know, it's like, well, you know, we need to leave these kinds of things to the psychologist, Pastor Mark. No, we need to leave them to the creator of both the human brain and the soul and the spirit and the body. Amen. What qualifies you? I'll tell you what qualifies me. The Holy Spirit within me and the ability to rightly divide and skillfully apply the Word of God. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that I've been qualified by God. Now, I don't prescribe medication. I'll tell people to take it. No, I don't know my lane. Amen. But again, God's answers are far superior to anything mankind has. And again, anything that mankind has developed that works, you can find patterns of it in the Scriptures every time. When I say works, I'm talking about really sure enough makes a difference. We were talking about this a little bit on Sunday morning. Cognitive behavioral therapy. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay. He's so ripped that off from God, right? What does it mean? Think different, live different. Think better, live better. That's all cognitive behavior therapy. And again, meaning you got to identify wrong thinking, replace it with right thinking, and then start putting that right thinking into practice in your life. That is cognitive behavioral therapy. Let me tell you what else it is. It's discipleship. It's discipleship. All right, now. So let me put the drawing up. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I get so excited about the truth. So remember now, God up in the corner there. Zoe means the life and nature of God. And the life and nature of God flows from God to us through a spirit union that we have with God. When we're born again, we are made one with God, and the life and nature of God flows from God into us. And so the arrows denote connection and direction. So life and nature of God flows from God to our born again spirit, from our spirit to our soul, from our soul to our body, from our body out into our life reality. When I say life reality, I'm talking about how things are you in your sure enough physical life reality, okay? And I use that to distinguish because, again, back to the three dimensions, right? You got it made on the inside whether you understand that yet or not. Now, everything can be going crazy around you, okay? But inwardly, you've got it made. Amen. My darling wife, evidently this thermostat has satisfied in the hallway, but it's starting to, yeah, amen. Amen. I don't want to embarrass her, but I'm telling you, God gave me the best woman he ever made right there. I love you, doll. Amen. We've been married 38 years. 38 years, yeah. Dated 2 years, so 40 years we've been together. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. So it's getting warm in here, but the thermostat's out there, and so the hallway thinks it's 72 degrees, but it ain't in here. Amen. Yes? Okay. Y'all all right? Bill and Teresa, wave at everybody back there. It's my friends from Lenore City. Praise God. Y'all have no idea the gifts that man and woman are to the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to have you. How many times through this class for y'all? Is this 5, 6, 7? I don't know. It's a bunch. Enough that he could come teach it if I need, and she could teach it for me if I needed to. So. No, come on. I love you, brother. Praise God. Amen. They usually watch online there in town from Tennessee. And so, praise God. We love you guys. Good to have you with us. Amen. So, so you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your soul is your mind, emotions, and will. Your spirit is the real you. It's your true nature. And then your flesh, your body, is also your five senses, what the Bible calls your outward man. Then if you'll notice, this is a revised version last few years. We've added in parentheses underneath the words being, who you be, understanding. Again, just in the interest of trying to even simplify it even further. And then, of course, your body is where you do things, doing. And doing includes speaking, acting, behaving, okay? So you are a being that has an understanding and you do things. Yes. Okay? Are you following me now? Yes. You are a being, you have an understanding, and you do things. All right? And your being is, again, the real you. It's who you be. Okay? But how you understand, right, can affect... it absolutely does affect how it is with you, how you do things and how and what's going on in your life reality. Okay? So back to what I mean by three dimensions. Well, I mean, here we go. Okay. So in light of the verses we just looked at in Ephesians 4, the behavior of the old man would be what you're doing. Yeah? Okay? And putting on the new man, that would be your being, who you truly be, right? You seeing this? Okay. The spirit of your mind is going to be your understanding. It's going to be your understanding. Now, I know I've said this throughout. I know I have not said it tonight, so let me say it again. When you were born again, your spirit has been, if you've received Jesus. But your soul was not born again, nor was your body. That's why the Bible speaks of our salvation and our sanctification in three different verb tenses.
Yes, it does.
Have been saved, past completed work. Are being saved, ongoing work. Are being sanctified, present tense, ongoing work. Will be, shall be saved, future work, shall be saved, future work. You with me? Past, present, future. Did I mess that up? Do I need to go back over it? Okay. Have been, are being, shall be. Do you realize how much confusion in the body of Christ there is over what that means?
Yes.
Because people don't understand spirit, soul, and body.
It's like walking the aisle 70 times.
Oh, I walked it 70 times, sister. Amen. I got saved. I patted so many evangelist numbers in our Southern Baptist church, it wasn't even funny, right? I mean, I got saved over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. No, I didn't. I got saved one time when I was 7 years old. Okay? All right?
But I didn't know.
I didn't understand, right? Okay. So, you say, which one is it? It's all. If you understand you're a three-dimensional being, you understand it's all three. You have been, if you've received Jesus. You are being. Your spirit has been. Your soul is being. Your body shall be. Is it making sense to you now? Is this, again, there's some things too. Watch this now. And I'm not, my job is to seek the Lord and to be led by the Spirit and to give you what He gives me to give you when you're here and what have you, okay? Your job is to hear it, listen to it. Just because Pastor Mark says it, you search it out for yourself, okay? But there are some things, listen to me now, and I'm not trying to get spooky on you, all right? We have the written word, but we also have the Holy Spirit, the inward witness, okay? And you always want the inward witness of the Holy Spirit and the written word to line up. If you ever think the Holy Spirit's telling you something that contradicts the Word of God, I guarantee you it's not the Holy Spirit telling you something that contradicts the Word of God, okay? But here's the thing about the inward witness. Even if you are still a student of the, and we are all students, but let's say you're not even sure the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament yet, right? But then all of a sudden you hear something like, spirit has been, soul is being, body shall be. And something on the inside of you says, yes, that's the inward witness. That's what we mean by the inward witness of the Holy Spirit, right? It's like, man, I got it now, right? I got it now. There are all kinds of verses because remember, God knows, God created you. He created you a three-dimensional being. So when God speaks to you, He speaks to you as a three-dimensional being. If you're trying to listen to Him thinking you're a one-dimensional being, you're going to miss way more than two-thirds of what He's trying to say to you. How about this one? 1 John 3:9. He says, if you've been born again, you don't sin. Come on, I can't believe I'm doing this right now. I'm going to do it though. He says you don't sin, and the reason you don't sin is because God's seed remains in you, and you cannot sin.
That's what it says.
Cannot sin. He must not know me. I sure can. He's talking about your born-again spirit. He's talking about the real you. So when Paul sinned, guess what he said? He says, not me that does it. That's denial's not a river in Egypt. That's not what we're talking about here. He recognized the difference between who he was inwardly and his body outwardly. Watch this. I, born again spirit, I, Paul speaking, will not allow my body to rule me, but I will keep it under subjection. He's talking to his body in the third person. This is a man who understands three dimensions. Are you following me? He understands spirit, soul, and body. And he understands, he's not making excuses for weak areas in his flesh where he still does things that he should. He's not writing it off, but he's also recognizing that that's not him anymore. That's not who he is. And watch this. Nor will he allow what he does in his body to shape the understanding he has of who he truly is in Christ Jesus. But he's going to reverse that because, notice, that would be from the outside in. God created us to live from the inside out. Yes? Are you seeing this? Okay. Now, so your life reality Your life reality is a reflection of your self-image. Now, I'm not going to read this again. We read this last week, okay? But remember now, this is a self-image from the Word of God. This is the image that, listen, there's way more to it than this. I mean, it's just what we fit on one page, you know, in big enough writing so that the older adults even in our church can read it. Amen? Without glasses. Praise God. Amen. Y'all still with me? All right. So, but this right here, see, what's the problem? The problem is so many of God's people have an image of themselves based upon what they've done or what's been done to them. That's why so many of God's people see themselves as a victim instead of a victor. See themselves as a loser and a failure instead of someone who always triumphs and is more than a conqueror. Are you sees themselves as an addict instead of, if the Son sets you free, free indeed, right? Are you following me? Okay. So this is wonderful ammunition, fodder, whatever you want to say. For renewing the mind. And again, 30-day challenge. Read it out loud. Seriously, read it out loud. 30 every day for 30 days. Amen. And become very familiar with it. All right, now, let's build on this, though. Your life reality is a reflection of your self-image. Do you understand reflection? Okay, so like I brought a mirror in here. All right. So what I'm seeing in the mirror is a reflection of me. Okay, that's not me. It's a reflection of me. Okay, so your life reality is a reflection of how you see yourself. Let me say it another way. If you want your life reality to change, then how you see yourself has to change, because how you see yourself and your life reality is a reflection. Yes? Okay, let me give you a verse. Proverbs 27 and 19. Proverbs 27 and 19. And I'm going to give this to you in a minute in some different translations. But Proverbs 27 and 19, it says this: as in water, face reflects face. So, you know, water, still water especially, has a reflective quality to it. So if you look into a, you know, still, clear water, it'll reflect your face back to you. So a man's heart reveals or reflects the man. A man's heart reflects the man. Okay? Now, let me give this to you in a couple of other verses, in a couple of other translations. Here are two. Proverbs 27 and 19. This is the New International Version. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Okay? Here's another one. God's Word translation. As a face is reflected in water, so a person is reflected by his heart. Okay? Now, just stay with me. Maybe you're not, it's not clicking yet. It'll click. Just keep digging. All right? Keep pushing. Keep pressing. Proverbs 27, 19, Amplified. As in water, face answers to... That's important. Face answers to and reflects face. So the heart of man to man. So he's saying that your life reality is a reflection of, watch this now, and answers to what is in your heart. Now, answers to actually means a servant of.
That's what King James Version says.
Is a servant of?
No, answereth.
Answereth to. Okay. It answereth. So, you know, like, for example, if you, you know, have a job and you have a boss, then the idea is that you answer to that boss. Okay. All right. In other words, you're under their authority. So he's saying that it answers to means a servant of. And so your life reality is a reflection of and servant to what is in your heart. What is in your heart? Now, let's go back for a minute. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't have this drawing, but you've got great, vivid imaginations, okay? I actually have a drawing that's similar to this one, but superimposed over the three-dimensional spirit, soul, and body is a giant heart, okay? And that heart goes around spirit and soul, okay? Now, this will really help you because the Bible has a lot to say about our heart, does it not? A lot to say about the heart. So, biblically, in the original language, the heart, we see that word used so many times in the scriptures, it is the cardia of man, K, not C. We get cardiac, English with a C. This is the cardia of man, all right? And I'll put all this up in later classes. I'll put the drawing up, the definition, all that stuff. But I feel like we need to say this since we're kind of getting some stuff here where we need this understanding, okay? So the cardia of man, what is your heart? Is it your spirit or is it your soul? It's not your spirit or your soul. It's your spirit and your soul. Let me give you the definition. You ready? The cardia of a man is the totality of his immaterial man. So you're a three-dimensional being. One part of you is physical matter. That's the body, right? The other two parts of you are immaterial. It means they're not physical matter. Well, if it ain't physical matter, I don't believe in it, Pastor Mark. Well, you don't believe in a thought then, right? Because a thought is immaterial. But in other words, you can't like put a thought on a scale and weigh it. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes, no, maybe. Yeah. Am I going too far? Are y'all still good?
No.
Okay. So the heart of a man is the combination of the spirit and the soul. Now, for a born-again man or a woman, your spirit sitting on G waiting on O. Your spirit believes everything God's ever said. Your spirit's ready to go raise the dead right now. Your spirit's ready to walk on water right now. Your spirit's ready to go. I mean, let's go and let's get her done, right? Your soul is like, oh, slow down a minute, man. This is crazy. Give money? Are you kidding me? We ain't got enough money to be giving money away. What's blah, blah, blah. See, so, you know, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, right? Are you seeing this? Okay. So we talk about the heart, God putting a new heart in us and a new spirit. Remember, even Ezekiel, the Holy Spirit prophesying through Ezekiel, he talked about the new heart and the new spirit. So the new spirit comes when you call upon the name of the Lord. The new heart, as it relates to the soul part of us, that is a work in progress. Yes?
Yes.
Now, let me encourage you for a minute, if I could, okay? When we say it's a work in progress, guess what? Our cooperation can speed things up. Nothing against anybody that's somewhere watching Netflix tonight, okay? But I guarantee you, their heart's not developing, their heart's not prospering, their heart's not becoming healthy and prospering the way your heart, the way your soul is becoming healthy and prospering.
That's right.
Amen. I started to come get it for you, sister, but I go off camera. So, amen. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You're saved, but coming to the knowledge of the truth, remember we said it takes some endurance, it takes some effort on our part, it takes some cooperation on our part. We have to take the yoke of Jesus and start doing life together with Him and like paying attention and coming to church, and not just any church, but a church that's teaching you and feeding you something that's helping you grow and develop. And amen. So again, there are people, and we see them in Hebrews 5. I mean, the writer of Hebrews talks about them. These folks been saved long enough, they should be teaching classes by now, but they still need somebody to prepare them a bottle of milk and stick it in their mouths. They're still infants. They're still spiritual babies. Doesn't mean they're not saved. Doesn't mean they're not going to heaven. It means they're missing out on a whole lot that they could otherwise be experiencing. It means they're living like those folks in Ephesians 4. They're living like outsiders. They're living separated from the rights, privileges, blessings, and benefits of being a child of God. They're living like slaves, even though they're not slaves. But because their understanding's darkened, they're still living like slaves, even though they're sons and daughters of God.
Romans 7:14-17.
Come on with it, sister. Again, all that, all the above. Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. And thank you. Yes. Okay. So, praise God. So your cooperation, my older brother, you know, he was like he has this thing. It's the way he keys his voice up. He was like, work with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and so, you know, that's like the Holy Spirit's going like, work with me. You know, he's always working. He's trying to help, right? But we gotta work with him. All right. Okay. So praise the name of the living God. Now, So with that said, let's go to Proverbs 4, then we're going to dig into this a little deeper, okay? I'm going to make it plain. I'm going to make it so plain, all right? But Proverbs 4, 20, 21, 22, and 23. My son, give attention to my words. Give attention. Well, that's speaking of effort on our part, right? Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. So again, to incline the ear would imply that there are other voices. And so if Eric back there was, you know, say everybody in here was talking and Eric's trying to tell me something, I may like do this. What am I doing? I'm inclining my ear to hear his voice over all the other voices in the room. There's a lot of voices in our world, right?
Yes.
A lot of voices in our world, okay? And they'll come to you in short video bursts if you want them to, right? Okay? So we got to incline our ear. This is speaking of deliberate intentional action. This is my brother, as my brother would say, this is working with the Lord. Amen. This is cooperating with him. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Whose responsibility is this? This is our responsibility. And I guarantee you, your enemy is trying to keep other things in front of your eyes, and he's trying to keep other things in the midst of your heart. In other words, what you think about, what you meditate on, so forth and so on. Notice, because the Word of God is what? It's life to those who find them. The Word of God is life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. And this next verse, keep your heart. One translation says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, I left my background screen off there, excuse me. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Out of it spring the issues of life. So I know I've said this over and over again. I'm going to keep saying it, all right? You were designed by God to live from the inside to the outside. So from your innermost being through your soul, springing up, right? Flowing out of you. So what's going on around you is coming from inside of you. This is people, I hear this, man, that guy's a nut. No, I'm telling you, it's coming from inside you. Just like looking in a mirror, what's in your heart, you're seeing a reflection of that in your life reality. If you want the life reality to change, what's in your heart that's producing that life reality has to change. And the devil will be perfectly happy with you trying to change things in your life reality for the rest of your days and never change. So let's go back to the Galatians 4:1. Living like a slave. Tired of living like a slave. I don't want to live like a slave, especially if you are an heir and a child of God. It's in you to live better than that, okay? But you're living like a slave and all the stuff going on in your life around you. And so the devil will let you try the rest of your life to change all that's around you that looks like and feels like and sounds like living like a slave, and never get around to changing what's on the inside. But the outside life reality of living like a slave is coming from the inside understanding that I am a slave.
Yes.
You are you following me? Okay, now, I'm going to go to it again. Now, your life reality is a reflection of and answers to what's in your heart. So trying to change the reflection, in this case, your life reality, your life experience, putting off the old behavior, the former conduct, the former lifestyle, trying to change the reflection without changing the heart, there's that word again. It's an exercise in futility. You're not ever. And see, here's what happens. Just when we think we're making progress, it all snaps back into the way it was before. And it's like, and sometimes even worse than it was before. Why is that? Because you realize that a bad self-image can get worse. You know what I'm saying? A poor self-image can actually be worse than it is right now. And so, again, but see, sometimes we don't realize that because we work and we try and we work and we try and we work and we try. And then it all kind of comes crashing back down because we're not building on the right foundation and we're trying to change outward things without changing inward things. And we put all that time and effort into it and the whole thing comes collapsing down. And then we feel like a bigger loser than we were before. It's like, man, I'm so screwed up, a 12-month recovery program couldn't fix me. Are you seeing this? So now it's like lower self-image. The image that we have of ourselves in our mind, what we think about who we truly are, becomes measurably lower, which again, and it just creates a vicious cycle, okay? All right, so I'm not trying to be funny, but sometimes demonstrations kind of help you with that, all right? Kind of help us see, all right? So how about this, all right? Now, I don't wear makeup, but I have been known to put on some chapstick every now and then, so I'm gonna show you what a lot of people are trying to do. You ready? Okay, all right. We could do this two ways. I'll do it this way first, all right? I'm going to put on some chapstick, but I need my mirror to put the chapstick on, so I'm going to see if they can see. Let me go widescreen here on the camera, all right? So we got to get this, because everybody, y'all been doing this wrong if you don't know, okay? This is how you do it right here, okay? You ready? You got to get it lined up just right. There we go. I got it on. Oh, you don't see it? There it is, right there. See, I got it. I had to get it lined up. Just right. Okay. What am I doing?
Setting a Jesus goal.
Setting a Jesus goal. Y'all the first group in a long time that hadn't got it. I'm trying to change the reflection without changing. Are you following me? It'd be like if I looked in here and I had like spaghetti sauce all up on my face. And I took a rag and started trying to clean the mirror.
But it didn't get on you.
No, I've got spaghetti. I got spaghetti up to my eyebrow. I got spaghetti over to my ear. I'm like a 3-year-old that dumped spaghetti on top of my head, right? And I look in the mirror and now I see it and I'm going, oh man, I got to clean this up. Am I ever going to get the spaghetti off my face by trying to change the reflection? Am I ever going to put chapstick on my lips by trying to put it on the reflection? I'm wasting chapstick and I'm wasting time. I'm wasting years of my life.
That's right. Yeah. Amen. Come on,
Pastor. Are you seeing this? You can't wash your face by trying to wash the reflection. You got to get to the face and you got to get it clean. So again, we see the reflection, we try to change the reflection.
Yes.
We try to clean up the reflection. But what's producing the reflection? Man, we got to get this now. I don't know if y'all are like, what is he doing? Has he lost his mind or whatever? I've done that 100 times. I don't know, 100. I've done it a bunch of times. Y'all are first groups ever kind of looked at me like, what? Maybe you're just thinking. Maybe you're smarter than all those other groups and you already got it, okay? Is there any chapstick on my lips?
No.
But if I hold it just right, it'll look like there is. I think, oh man, look at me. I got it going on. Still can't get that spaghetti off my face, but I got the chapstick on. No, see, again. There you go. But it ain't true, right? Because the minute I move the mirror, my lips are dry. This is what we're talking about now. Okay? And so what is this reflection of? In the scriptures, it's the reflection of my self-image. It's how I see myself. And so if I try to change the mirror without changing what's being reflected by the mirror, it's an exercise in futility. It's not ever going to change. And the devil will sit back and let you do that till you're dead. All right, now y'all got me a little nervous on this next part. If y'all didn't get that part, this is a little deeper. Y'all going with me? You ever been at a concert or maybe in a church service or something like that, and that microphone does that thing where it's like somebody stabbed you in the ear with an ice pick?
Reverb.
Somebody said reverb. It's actually feedback. I guess reverb can cause it. Okay. When that happens, it's a feedback. And if you notice when it starts happening, it starts low and it gets louder and more shrill and louder and more shrill. In other words, it's progressive. And if somebody don't do something on the soundboard, it can literally blow the speakers and not to mention really damage some people's hearing. All right. So what causes that? Let me explain it to you. Okay. What causes feedback is when the sound goes, somebody's singing or they speak into the microphone. They speak into the microphone, right? And the sound then goes through the speakers. But if you notice, a lot of times the speakers are behind a person or higher than a person or whatever. When the sound coming out of the speaker goes back into the microphone, it creates a feedback loop. So now it's faster and faster and louder and louder and shriller and shriller. Okay. Yes. All right. Now, this is what I call, and I'm going to show you the picture in just a moment. This is what I call a self-image feedback loop. Okay. Self-image feedback loop. Are you ready? I'm going to show you what it looks like, and then we're going to explain it. Okay. Here's the picture. Okay. A self-image feedback loop. Okay. So if you notice, for those of you who are listening and not watching, all right, we got self-image at the top, and we got arrows looping around and pointing to underneath it. It says feelings and behavior. And then on the other side of feelings and behavior is another arrow that's pointing up to self-image. Self-image, feelings and behavior, back to self-image, round and round and round. Okay. Now, at the beginning of this class, I said that if you will dig in tonight and let the Lord speak to you and not let the devil steal this from you, that I can guarantee you life transformation. Okay. And this, and among other things we've said, obviously all very important. But this right here, come on now, this right here, we have got to break this vicious cycle. And so let me explain it to you. God created us to live from the inside out. Okay? From our spirit, through our soul, out of our body, in the world around us. Joy comes from the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It comes from God into my born-again spirit, floods my soul. Peace that passes all understanding. Peace of God passes all understanding. Comes from God into my through my spirit, into my soul, into my body, into the world around me. Yes? You understand that emotions affect you physiologically, right? I mean, you can get so upset that you tremble. Okay, again, the same thing. The life and nature of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, it can also lower your blood pressure, heart rate, in the same way, okay? All right. So, but again, most people on planet Earth are trying to live from the outside in instead of from the inside out. They're trying to change the reflection instead of changing what's being reflected. Are you following me? Okay. So when we live from the outside in, we're tricked into allowing our feelings and behavior. We're tricked into allowing our feelings and behavior to form our self-image. It's getting quiet. I want it to be quiet. That's good. All right. When we live from the outside in, we are tricked. It's a trick of the devil. Into allowing, or we could say letting, our feelings and our behavior, how we feel and what we do, to form our self-image. Okay? Notice it's outside in, right? Because I've done this, this, and this, and this, and because I've done this, this, and this, and this, I believe this is true about me. I understand that this is what I am or who I am or blah, blah, blah. Okay? So living from the outside in, we're tricked into allowing our feelings and behavior to form our self-image. This means we are allowing what determines our feelings and behavior to be shaped by our feelings and behavior. Getting quiet. I hope that's cause you're thinking. What determines your feelings and behavior? Your self-image. Are your feelings and behavior not a reflection of your self-image according to the scriptures? Yes. Springing forth from in you, out of you. Right? Okay? So now, we've got how we feel about things and our what we do and how, you know, we've got that whole dynamic, right? So now, this is how we're living. This is what we're doing. This is how it's making us feel. So this must be who we are. This must be who I am. So notice the feedback loop. It's reversing. Instead of who we are and the understanding of who we truly are, working to produce a different life reality. We've got what we're doing and how we're feeling forming the very thing that determines what we do and how we feel, which determines, and it just creates this vicious, vicious cycle.
Yes, and difficult. Because our spirit's not lining up with our thought patterns.
No, not at all. Yeah. I'm not sure y'all got it yet. I'm going to keep going. Y'all still with me? Y'all getting it? Yes, 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 yes. Could, are you understand at least now that this is a problem?
Yes, that's a problem.
Because how we ever, if the self-image determines the feelings and the behavior, and the feelings and the behavior are forming our self-image, which it just, and again, these things aren't static, right? Instead of the fruits of the Spirit.
If I look good, then I feel good. Is that like what you're talking about?
No. It's like, again, if I act like a duck, I must be a duck. And so if I'm a duck, it just makes me live more like a duck, which makes me think more like a duck, which makes me live more like a duck, which makes me think more like a duck, which makes me quack more like a duck. Vicious, vicious cycle. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Stay with me. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm not done by any stretch of the imagination. Praise God. We still got a few minutes. Can y'all hang in here a few more minutes? Okay. So allowing our feelings and behavior to shape what determines our feelings and behavior is one of the devil's most effective traps. Okay? Because your life reality is a reflection of your self-image. So, what does this mean? It means we've got to find another source of information to inform our self-image. We can't let what we do and how we feel form our self-image.
Amen.
Because what we do and how we feel has nothing to do with who we truly are, other than who we truly are can change it.
Amen.
But not until it first changes the understanding we have of ourselves.
That's right.
Just keep, y'all, don't listen now. I'm going to go back to John 6, right? Jesus teaches this lesson. People leave him because they think he's crazy. And the disciples sitting there, Jesus, you leaving? No, I'm not leaving. I'm hanging in here. But they didn't understand it, right? But what were they doing? They were willing to hang in there till they understood it, okay? There's treasure in this field. Kim, how many times have you heard me teach on this? But you're seeing it. Right? Amen. Buell and Teresa, you probably heard me teaching this more than anybody in this room, right? Okay, so amen, right? 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 So just hang. Don't. There's treasure in this field. Keep digging. I said there's treasure in this field. We've got to keep digging, okay? So remember now, your life reality is a reflection of your self-image. But if you let your life reality inform your self-image, how's it ever going to change? Let me give you another drawing. Another drawing. Can we do another drawing right quick? Okay. So in this one, we've got your spirit. Remember, you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. So think of your spirit as the light, because God is the light inside of you. That's the true light, right? It's a true light that shines upon every man. So I could give you verse after verse after verse. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Born again, man, you got the light of God in you. Okay. But do you understand like the old-fashioned movie projectors? They would have a lamp or a bulb inside of them, but then you would put the film in the projector and that light would shine through the film, and whatever was on the film is what would show up on the screen. Do you see how this works? Okay. All right. So you got the true light in you, but if it's shining through the wrong self-image, what's going to be projected in your life is not going to be who you truly are. But now in this case, the film in the projector is who you think you are. It's yourself. It's the image you have of yourself. So if we keep looking at what's being projected on the screen and agreeing with it,
well, that's me. Yeah, well, there you go again. Weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all.
See, that's what the devil wants you to agree with when things go wrong in your life. I'm just cursed. No, the Bible says you're blessed. Do you realize how much that, see, but again, we do things that don't, whatever doesn't work out in our lives. We look at this, man, I'm just cursed. I can't get nothing right. Blah, 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 right? Okay. Well, again, you're looking at what's happening. What's happening is informing the image you have of yourself, what you believe to be true about yourself, which again is just projecting more of that on there. So when, you know, somebody runs over your brand new white shoes with a shopping cart and leaves a black trail across of them, don't go, oh man, I can't ever have anything nice. See, you just let something on the outside inform what you think about yourself on the inside. What do you do instead? I'm blessed coming in. I'm blessed going out. God gave me these white tennis shoes, and if I can't get these clean, I'll go buy me a pair and my best friend a pair too.
That's right. Amen.
Hey, are you? Some of you look at me like I'm crazy now. Okay. So notice now we got the true image. That's who we truly are. That's who we truly are. Yes. Okay. Then we got the self image. That's who we think we are. But then a lot of times we try to manipulate the projected image. Because we want people to think things about us that we don't believe are true ourselves. But we still want them to think we got it all together, even though we don't think we do. I'm right about it. I'm just trying to show you. So no wonder we're confused and stressed and spinning our wheels and wasting our time, wasting our life. Okay? Did that help some of you? Did that help some of you? Okay. So what happens if we get a film in the projector that is equal to, in alignment with, our true image? Well, then, see, that's what's being projected. That's what's going on in our life reality. Okay, thank you. Yes, thank you. All right, now. All right, so your spirit's the light and the projector. Your soul is the film and the light that the light shines through. Your life reality is the image projected. Okay? So your spirit is the real you and therefore determines your potential, what you are capable of accomplishing. But your thinking has the power to limit the potential you possess as a child of God. Your understanding, or more narrowly focused, the image you have of yourself. If God says you're righteous and you want to argue with Him all the time that you're not, if God says you're free and you keep pointing to mistakes that you make and things that you keep doing as evidence that you're not, are you following me? Amen. This is why, you've heard me say it before, I'm going to say it again. The best advice I could ever give anybody is this: agree with God and agree with Him quickly. If He says you're free, start saying you're free. If He says you're righteous, start saying you're righteous. If He says you're blessed, start saying you're blessed. If He says you're holy, start saying you're holy. If He says you're strong, start saying you're strong. Let the weak man say, I'm strong. Let the poor man say, I'm rich. Let the broke brother say, I'm prospering. Are you hearing me? Let the sick man say, I'm healed.
Yes.
Agree with God and agree with Him quickly. But see, we look at the circumstances, we look at the symptoms, we look at the bank account, we look at everything that's going on out here in the world around us, and we let that inform the image that we have of ourselves, which is determining what's going on in the world around us. But if we break that cycle and say, no matter what I see, because I'm a man or woman of faith, are you following what I'm saying? You're a man or woman of faith. I'm a man of faith. And what does faith do? Faith doesn't live by the way things look, seem, and feel. Faith lives based upon what the Word of God says, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it seems like or feels like. This is how we see things change. I done stopped teaching and started preaching now, okay? So your spirit is the real you. And it determines your potential. But you understand what potential is, right? It's what you're capable of doing but haven't done yet. What you're capable of experiencing but haven't experienced yet. Oh, the potential. Please hear me. I'm not just saying this to try to flatter you. My Father has put greatness in every single person. Listen to me right now.
Amen.
He has put greatness in you. The greater one is in you. Greater than all the power of the enemy. In you right now. His kingdom in you right now. His gifts in you right now. His spirit in you right now. His kingdom. Again, all of these things in you right now. It's your potential. And as powerful as that is, your thinking has the power to limit the potential that you possess as a child of God. How about this one? Aptitude versus attitude? Anybody? What is your aptitude? Aptitude is what you're capable of doing. Your attitude is the mindset that you have. And so I'm sure nobody in this room, but you probably know somebody that had the aptitude to be a straight A student, but they had the attitude for C's and D's. I'm just trying to make it plain. Had the aptitude to be whatever, had the attitude to that held them back. Okay? So what does discipleship do? Discipleship closes the gap between your true potential and your realized potential. Thinking has more to do with that than anything else. I used that expression last week, a mental block, right? Where our thinking literally blocks the flow of God's potential in our lives from passing through.
Because that's what we allow to enter through our mind gates, right?
I love that you said it. And Jesus said it this way in John 14. Do not let, which means allow, your heart to be troubled. Now, see, we think that we don't have any control over that. But Jesus would have never told us to not let something happen if we did not have the ability to stop it. Right? But you realize there are things that you can think about and meditate on that will keep your heart in constant turmoil and trouble and chaos. Just like there are things that you can think on that will produce and release the peace of God into your life and into the world around you. Okay? Now, we'll say this more than once, but I want to clear something up now that needs to be cleared up. And I can't say this enough, and I'm going to just keep on saying it until Jesus gets back. And just hear me out. You will hear in a lot of Christian music, you'll hear in a lot of Christian books, and a lot of pastors and teachers, internet, wherever, they'll talk about you and me and say that we now have two natures. That's a lie from the pits of hell. You do not have two natures. The nature of a thing, the essence of that thing, what makes that thing what it is. If you've been born again, you were born again of a different seed. Seed determines the nature of a thing. We were born of the corrupted seed of Adam. It produced within us the sinner, the nature of a sinner. We were born again. We were born a second time. Spirit was born again, made new from a different seed. And we became the partaker of the divine nature of God. We now have the nature of righteousness. Now, what confuses people is they say, well, I understand what you're saying, Pastor Mark, but I still have a sin nature because I still sin. You don't sin because you have a sin nature. You still sin because the old man left some residue on your thinking that's causing you to still live like that old man. But that old man, according to Romans 6 and 7, Sister mentioned it a moment ago, was buried in an unmarked grave with Jesus. Jesus buried that old man and put a new man with a womb, new woman in you. Or you find neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. But anyway, put a new in you. Amen. Now, it sometimes feels like this. And so watch this now. Watch this. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So please don't. If you say it in my presence, I'll be nice and speak the truth in love. But I'm going to correct you, okay? Because it absolutely infuriates me, this lie from the devil. Watch this now. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. If you were a sinner and you've been saved by grace, you are no longer a sinner. You've become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But notice now, see, again, where do people come up with that? Well, I still commit sin, so I'm just an old sinner. No, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But as long as you see yourself as a sinner, even if you want to put the caveat, I'm just an old sinner, but I've been saved by grace. Well, guess what you're going to keep doing? That's going to just cause sin to perpetuate. Oh, because what are we doing? People are pointing to the evidence of their own misinformation feedback loop, right? They point to their sin. I sin, therefore I must be a sinner. projected. There you go. Because I got the wrong film in the projector in front of the light, right? So we must make a significant shift. Come on now, let's make our minds up tonight that we're going to do it. Quality decision, we must make a significant shift. What is a significant shift? It's when we shift from one thing to another. This is also what the Bible calls repentance, because repentance doesn't mean stop sinning. Repentance means, in the original language, the word is metanoos. It means a new condition of mind. It means a new way of thinking. See, everybody thinks Jesus went around hollering, stop sinning, stop sinning. He know he went out saying, stop thinking the way you always thought. Because he knew the thinking was what was leading to the wrong behavior. You never change the wrong behavior until you change the wrong thinking that's driving it. So we must make a significant shift. Here's the significant shift. Are you ready? We must go from our doing informing the understanding we have of our being to the truth of our being informing the understanding we have of our potential doing. Let me can I simplify it? We'll go back to this. Can I simplify it, okay? Stop letting your struggle define you. That's a feedback loop, right? I struggle with this, so I must be that. Right? Once an addict, always an addict. Lie from the pits of hell. But if that's what you think, if that's the understanding you have of yourself, if that's the image you have of yourself, I'm not trying to be rough. I'm just trying to put it straight for you. Okay. So this is a little more wordy, but I think necessary, because if you notice, I did the doing, understanding, and being to line up with the diagram, right? The handout. So we've been letting our doing inform our understanding of our being. Notice that's exactly opposite. That's outside in. Now we've got to shift, significant shift, and start allowing the truth of our being to inform the understanding we have of our potential doing, what we're capable of doing. That would include living free, living righteously, being a major blessing. Okay? Here we are again. Okay? This is from the Word of God to inform your understanding of what's true about you right now, not what we hope will be true one day. It's true about you right now if you've been born again. Okay? Yes?
Yes.
Yes? How would that line up with the past, present, and future? Okay, so let me line it up. That's a good. I've never been asked that, so let me line it up, okay? So our being is established, right? In Christ Jesus. Our being is established in Christ Jesus. Our understanding is either being informed by what's going on outside of us or what's going on inside of us. You understand there's a difference between something that's a fact and something that's true. Truth and fact are not the same thing. Fact is, it was cool this morning. Fact is, it was sunny today. But that could be different weather tomorrow. It could be a different set of facts tomorrow. What's the difference between something that's a fact and something that's true? Something that's true is true today, it's true tomorrow, and it will always be true. It never changes. Facts cannot change the truth, but truth can change the facts. But so many times, again, it's another feedback loop. It may be a fact that you did some things today you shouldn't have done. It may be a fact that you said some things today you shouldn't have said. It may be a fact, amen, that you acted anything but like a child of God today. That may be factual, but the truth still remains that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we got a choice to make. Are we going to let the facts of our behavior and how that makes us feel inform the understanding we have of who we are? Or are we going to let the truth? This is a significant shift.
Yes.
This is a significant shift, okay? The truth of our being informing the understanding we have of our potential doing. Okay? Man, sweet Jesus, we're about out of time. This keeps bumping up in my spirit. And I'll show you the verses later, okay? But I don't want to confuse you by using different mirror example, okay? But we actually have a mirror that we can look into to see our true nature and true being.
Come on.
It's the Word of God.
Yeah.
And we see that the Bible refers to itself as that mirror. Now watch this. Please watch this. Please get this. Okay, it's so simple, but it'll change your life. Okay? I do not need a mirror to see my hands. I need a mirror to see what I cannot see without one. I don't need a mirror to see inconsistencies in my life that need to change.
Come on.
I need a mirror to see the truth about who I am in Christ Jesus. Are you seeing this? Okay. So this is like looking into the, when I say, you know, look in the mirror, I'm going to tell some people, just tape it to your mirror. Mm-hmm. Right? You get ready in the morning, there it is right in front of your eyes. Okay. Because, you know, you look at this and you go, purpose and grace in Christ Jesus before time began. Who's he talking about? I'm talking about you. Every word of this is true about you right now. If you've been born again, this every bit is true about you right now. Righteous, wise, blessed, all this, right? Okay. Well, amen. But you say, I can't see it, Pastor Mark. You're not looking in the right mirror. You looking in a reflection of your what your current self-image is producing. This right here, the Word of God. This is where we need to look. Amen?
Amen,
amen. Amen. All right, 641. Last thing, and I got time for this. We're gonna do it, okay? Yes?
Yes.
Hey, listen, I love to talk to y'all after class, and I'll talk to as many of you that want to talk to me after class as possible. But you do realize we have service like right now, 18 minutes from now. We will be live streaming in that other room in there. Okay, so that's why I'm not being rude when I like pack up and run out of here. It's because I got to make the whole transition, shift all this over. Anyway, praise God. Genesis chapter 3, you ready? And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Anybody know what just happened? They've just sinned, right? Okay. Then the Lord God called Adam and said, "Where are you?" God didn't like. He was asking that question for our benefit, all right? So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." Watch this now, verse 11. And God said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat of?" So what's the question? The question here is, who told you that you were naked? See, we look at this sometimes and we see the sin and we see the failure and all that. But I'm going to tell you, this right here is monumental for another reason. Because for the first time in human history, mankind has a thought in his head about himself that did not come from God. When God says, "Who told you you were naked?" You know what he's saying? I didn't tell you that, so who did? Where did you get that information? Watch this. What formed that image and understanding of yourself in you? Because God didn't. God didn't. Are you following me? Now, watch this. The blood of Jesus takes care of the sin. The blood of Jesus takes care of the sin, and thank God for it. But God doesn't just want your sin to be taken care of. Once your sin is taken care of, he wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth. So you can live in the daily victory that Jesus bled to death naked on the cross for you to have. Now, I might have to adjust the title unless I make this last statement, okay? Being, big word like mayonnaise, so stay with me. Being transcends doing. Write that down. It's where we'll start next week, okay? Being who you be transcends. That's a big word. What does it mean? To be honest with you, I really feel like the Holy Spirit whispered that word. Matter of fact, I think I was actually teaching, And that word came out, and I'm like, I'm not even really sure what that word means, but I really feel like the Holy Spirit. So I looked it up, okay? And you know I'm going to tell you what it means, okay? Transcends means to go beyond the limits of, to be separate from, to be above and independent of. Okay? Doom, 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 doom. Can't touch this. Anybody remember that one? Okay. All right. So what are we saying? Doing can't change your being. Now, there's a lot of people disagree with that, but I'm just telling you, if you believe in the Bible teaches that what you do cannot change who you be. Amen. Could we ever do enough good to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? No. Absolutely not. Okay. All right. So when we talk about being transcending your doing, we're talking about something that operates independently. Okay. So doing what you do cannot change who you be. Only the blood of Jesus and the incorruptible word of God and being born again, the gift of salvation, receiving the Lord Jesus. Only that can change who you be. What you do can't change it for the better or for the worse. Just stay around if you don't believe me. Just stay around. I'll show it to you in the Bible, okay? So when I say being transcends doing, we're talking about not necessarily things that operate independently of one another. Your doing can't change your being, but your being can change your doing. But remember what's in between your being and your doing? Your understanding. Your understanding. Are you seeing why discipleship is so important?
Yes.
We've got to get understanding. And all you're getting, get understanding. And all you're getting, get wisdom. Because wisdom and understanding are the one factor amongst all the other factors that have the biggest impact on the results you get. And some people say, well, what about faith? You've got the measure of faith, but if you have no understanding and wisdom on how to use it, it's not going to benefit you at all. Amen? All right. Father, you're good to us. Thank you for this time together this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the men and women in the room, those watching online. Lord, I'm just going to be bold. Somebody's going to stumble across this 50 years from now, Lord, on the internet. And you're going to speak to them then. So, Lord, whoever, whenever, wherever, Lord, folks may hear this, receive this. I thank you, Father, that they're going to experience your power. They're going to experience your anointing. They're going to experience your wisdom. And they're going to experience, Lord, your answers, Lord, for their life. And, Lord, I thank you tonight that we have received it. Devil, get away from God's people. You will not steal this word from them in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that we've received truth tonight, truth that is enabling us to walk in the freedom and the righteousness and the blessing, Lord, that you have already made us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Know that you love. Know that Jesus is Lord. And as we love to say here at Heritage, good things coming. Thank you for being here. It means so much to me. God bless you.